Welcome to Journal Club for January 13th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Today's paper is about an algorithm that is unusually efficient at a relatively obscure task. The authors have found a way to surface uncovered Petri net transitions in cubic polynomial time. Now, those words might not mean anything to you yet, so we're going to put that whole idea off to the side, and we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. Forget about it for now, and instead I want to ask you a question. How do you optimize a distributed system with thousands of moving parts and dozens of different goals? Short answer, you model it first. If you don't model it, then any optimization you try to make is just shooting in the dark. Without a model, you'll have no way of knowing if the modifications you're making are working as intended, or getting muted by some other part of the system, or even causing problems for some other component. Okay, so how do you model it then? There are a few options. The one we're looking at today is called a Petri net. Not a Petri dish, that's a totally different thing named after a different guy. Petri nets are named after Carl Adam Petri. He was a doctoral student in the early 60s, and he laid the mathematical foundations for Petri nets in his dissertation. 60 years later, they're an important tool in systems theory, and they're used to model all kinds of complex interconnected processes, workflows, networks, interactions, operations, and activities. Here's a few examples of how they're used. Manufacturing processes. Petri nets track how machines and resources interact to assemble products efficiently. Traffic control. They model how traffic lights coordinate to keep vehicles and pedestrians moving safely. Computer networks. They show how data packets are transmitted and received by all the switches and routers and nodes in a network. And healthcare workflows. They model tasks like patient admissions, treatments, surgeries, and exams, and all the resources, equipment, rooms, and staff that interact with them. And there are many other examples. So, what is a Petri net exactly? It's a mathematical model of a distributed system, but it's commonly represented visually as a diagram. These diagrams are distilled compared to the actual mathematical models. They don't have quite as much information in them, but they do a good job of visually conveying an entire system at once. They look a bit like flowcharts or UML diagrams. In a Petri net visualization, you'll generally see three types of shapes. Circles, these are places. They represent states, conditions, or resources in the system. Rectangles, these are transitions. These represent events or actions that change the state. And arrows, these are arcs. They indicate the flow or relationship between places and transitions, showing how states and actions are connected. Let's take a deeper look at the rectangles, the transitions, the actions. At any given time, a transition can generally be either enabled, that's ready to fire, disabled, not ready to fire, or fired, that's executed. But a transition can also be uncovered. This means that the transition is not part of any T invariant. In other words, it's not included in any cyclic behavior or functional loop within the system. An uncovered transition is bad. The event or action it represents will never occur because it's not actually connected to the rest of the system in any functional way. Its very existence indicates wasted design effort or even a flaw in the system's logic. Remember, there are resources or processes tied to that transition, but they're effectively useless when the transition is uncovered. If you can find uncovered transitions, they are likely the lowest hanging fruit that you can fix in order to begin optimizing the system as a whole. Accordingly, there is a whole body of research that concerns finding and surfacing uncovered transitions. It's not that they're hard to recognize when you see them, it's that in a sufficiently large and complex system, they're hard to locate. If you try to brute force it and have your algorithm exhaustively explore the entire state space of the Petri net, it's going to take too long. It would need to enumerate all possible markings and transitions and cycle through every combination of states and firing sequences until it finds them. This would work eventually, but would also be super inefficient. It would have a big O complexity of something like exponential time. In other words, doubling the input size results in computation time increasing by a factor of 2 to the n. For large systems, this growth quickly becomes infeasible. Luckily, there are a number of more modern approaches to this that you can use to save time. The most common is probably the Martinez-Silva algorithm. While these approaches are more efficient than brute force, they still struggle with scalability. So that brings us finally to today's paper. These authors have produced another algorithm, and this one completes in polynomial time, specifically cubic polynomial time. Here's how it works. When the algorithm gets called, you need to pass it an incidence matrix, which is just the mathematical version of the diagram I described earlier. It starts by just initializing an empty list. This is where it's going to store any uncovered transitions that it finds. Next, it flips or transposes the rows and columns of the incidence matrix. This is just to prepare it for the next steps, which involve analyzing the transitions mathematically. Now, the algorithm reworks the transposed matrix into something called reduced row echelon form, REF. This is a cleaned up version where patterns in the data become much clearer. It involves reorganizing and simplifying the rows to highlight key features. With the REF in hand, it then looks at each row, representing places in the system, to find transitions that don't balance properly. If a transition has no role in maintaining the flow of tokens through the system, it's flagged as uncovered and gets added to the list. So, why is this better? Primarily because it has polynomial complexity, cubic, that is. Other methods generally have either exponential or higher polynomial complexity. It's also better because it focuses on transitions, not full invariants. Instead of exhaustively computing all t invariants, it directly identifies transitions that fail the invariant conditions. This saves significant computational effort. Or at least, that was their theory. But the authors needed to put this to the test. To evaluate it, they conducted experiments on a benchmark of 386 PetriNet systems. The evaluation compared their algorithm's performance to the Martinez-Silva algorithm and the PIPE tool, P-I-P-E. They measured both efficiency, that's how quickly the algorithm ran, and effectiveness, how accurately it detected uncovered transitions. The results showed that their algorithm successfully analyzed 384 out of 386 benchmarks, whereas the Martinez-Silva algorithm failed on 7 cases, and the PIPE tool failed on 47 cases, often because they couldn't complete within the hour that the team allotted. In terms of speed, the new algorithm consistently outperformed the other methods, but the delta of the runtimes was obviously highly dependent on the size of the input. Overall, their approach was a success, and if their paper ends up being replicable, it could have an outsized impact on this problem space. This work empowers engineers and system designers with a faster, more reliable tool for refining complex systems. If you yourself are going to be building, modeling, or optimizing a distributed system anytime in the near future, then it might be worth your while to download the paper. The authors showcase a number of diagrams and pseudocode snippets that really walk you through their algorithm in far more detail than we covered here. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.